You're listening to the Clean Comedy Podcast with James Creviston and Luke LaCoy.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Clean Comedy Podcast. It's James, and I'm here with my co-host, Mr. Luke LaCoy.
What it do?
What it do?
Hello? Hi, I don't know. Carry on.
I feel like you like didn't even try. You were just like, yeah, we'll get to whatever we're going to get to today. So before we start, I want to thank you guys for tuning in and liking and following and subscribing. So please do that if you're not doing that now. And then I also want to tell you that I am back in re-quarantine. I'm re-quarantined. I don't know how that happened. I got shots. I went out in the world and took an adventure. Actually, I didn't adventure. I just went to like the grocery store and to play magic. But it wasn't even me. It was like someone else in my family got it, and now I have it. So back in re-quarantine, and we'll see where it goes. And someone who's not in quarantine, because they did a special on VidAngel. If you guys haven't watched VidAngel or Dry Bar Comedy, you got to go check it out. And we have the great, the very funny, the very talented Mr. Glenn Tickle.
Hello, friends.
Hello.
Sorry to hear you're back inside.
I know. I was like, I was free. I was out playing magic every week with my, you know, I was nerding it up. And
I never got into magic.
Oh, man.
It was just because I didn't have, like, money as a child. No.
Yeah.
It's 100% a thing I would have loved.
Yeah.
But when my friends got into it, I was like, how many? I can't just buy, like, one pack of cards and call it a day. I couldn't get into it.
It's so expensive. I don't know why I got in. Okay, well, that's not true. I know why I got into it. First, I started playing Arena, like, the online version, and it was fine.
Yeah.
And then the world opened up, and so I started, like, learning more about the cards, and I built my first like deck, like, which is Commander, which is a 100 card thing. I started playing, and then it just snowed. Now let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 Commander decks, which are 100 cards each. Yeah.
What the?
And then
I can do it now.
Yeah.
But it feels like skateboarding. Like I've passed my window to get into it.
No.
Like I'm 38. Skateboarding, I can't start skateboarding now.
No. So. Skateboarding is a physical thing. You can break an ankle or hurt yourself. Imagine you sit at a table and play. It's fine.
I guess I have a couple friends who are into it. I guess like we're similarly aged. Some of my other friends are into it. I just have this image where like if I go to a game store to start playing Magic, it's going to be me and teenagers.
That happens. But it does happen sometimes.
Apparently, it would just be me and you and other guys who look like us.
Yeah, no, we're the demographic now. Really, that's the truth. Everything's so expensive, so it's like whatever. So that's how I got started. But outside of Magic, the other hobby that you have, which is not really a hobby, it's your livelihood, right? Is doing stand-up.
Okay. Right? Yes.
Do you do any teaching anymore, or is comedy your full-time thing now?
No. So I do a bunch of jokes about how I used to be a substitute teacher.
Right,
I do teach stand up sometimes.
Okay, good.
But I don't like do actual teaching anymore. I do after school programs for kids sometimes, like as a science instructor, where I'll do like Bill Nye stuff.
Yeah.
Just cause it's fun and something to do when I'm not traveling for comedy, where I can feel like I have a job that actually helps someone in some way besides just me.
What age group do you teach comedy to? I teach teens. I teach at a teen center 3 times a year. I teach a stand-up class.
It ranges. I don't think any teens. Maybe there are a couple like fairly young people who might have maybe been 19. But it ranges from like I would say college age to the very, very old.
What is your oldest person that you've taught stand up to?
She didn't say a number, but it was, I would not be surprised if it was triple digits. Like,
oh, wow.
She was a very old lady.
Wow.
Yeah.
What were her jokes like? And were they good jokes?
It was mostly about being an old lady. And like,
that's awesome.
Pretty solid bits. I don't find them personally relatable, but yeah, you know.
This really kills in my retirement village. They're all dying.
That's how I got talked into doing it, because like stand-up classes have like a pretty negative connotation among comedians.
Yeah.
So starting out, I probably bought the same line that everybody did, where I'm like, oh, you can't teach what I do because it's so pure. You can 100% teach it. But my friend who runs the venue that I teach at now, he's like, you know, a lot of people who take it aren't trying to be professional comedians. Some people just take it because Pottery was full. And I'm like, that's as good of a reason as any to do it. And I'm like, I would love to teach those people how to do stand-up good. Because you'll see them at open mic sometimes, right? Like, just like the older person who just wanted to try it once. I'm like, yeah, well, that person deserves as good a shot as anybody else at having a good 5 minutes. So right, if they want to put a little money into it and spend a few weeks working on that 5 minute set, sure, I'll teach them how to do it.
Yeah. Mine is really pitched to be more able to public speak and kind of get out of your shell and stuff, yeah, like that. So I do see a difference from week one to week seven. We talk about this in another episode, but I do see that difference. And
oh yeah, nobody talks week one.
Yeah. I make them do open mic day one, week one, we're doing open mic. Get up there, tell us about yourself. That's what we
do. I do this. I do the exact same thing. I'm like, instead of going around the room, like, I bring a microphone and a PA and like, stand up here and tell people, you don't have to do jokes. Just stand and talk about yourself. Like, tell us who you are. I also ask them why they wanted to take the class.
Yep.
Because it helps me to know, like, if somebody's like, oh, because I want to be a professional stand-up comedian, I will give that person different advice than the guy who's like, I don't know, it just seemed fun, just want to try it once. I'm like, yeah, like I'll tell you enough for you to have a good time doing it your first time. But the person who's like, no, this is my passion.
Yeah.
I'm like, you know what? Here's my email. Like, reach out if you have any other questions. But it also helps if people are like, they're not sure what they want to tell jokes about, because it's the other question. I'm like, what material do you picture yourself doing? Like, are you going to do absurdist stuff? Are you going to do personal stories from your life? And they'll kind of get an idea, and then we'll start shaping it over the 6 weeks.
Perfect. Luke?
I was just like the comment earlier with like the random person who shows up at the open mic. I see them usually doing well, like as announcing, hey, this is my first time at an open mic, because they usually get like overwhelming support, and it's a nice thing to see. Then they usually don't come back.
Tell in the class, because the guy I took it over from used to tell people in the class, he's like, don't do open mics while you're taking this class. Wait until the end when you have like your 5 minute set that you've worked out. And I tell them that he has given that. I'm like, so the guy who runs this venue says this, here's why he's wrong. Go do open mics immediately, like right after this, go find one and do it. Like, because the more you do them, the better you're going to get. There's absolutely no benefit to not performing.
Right. It's like if Tony Hawk was teaching you skateboarding, he was like, hey, after this class, don't do any kick flips or anything. Don't practice. Right. Only practice in class. You'd be like, I'm never going to be a good skateboarder. Yeah.
But then I tell people, because some of them who do just want to try it the one time, they just want the experience of taking a class and doing a grad show. I'm like, that's also fine. If you just want to wait, that's fine too, but you will get better at this the more you do it. So go do a bunch. Sadly, the area that we live in, there's not really a ton of open mics around anymore. I'm like, drive an hour into Philly and do a few shows a night where you're gonna get probably some things yelled at you that are gonna make you uncomfortable.
Yeah, that's so true.
Take that, Philly. That'll teach you.
So you did Dry Bar. We've had a couple friends that have done Dry Bar and stuff. Tell us about that experience, because it's becoming more popular. Like, it's a really popular place to go do stand-up. It's a place to watch stand-up, and it's really growing. There's like, they're putting out like a new special like almost every week, it seems like. What was that experience
like? Yeah, they just put out Mike Gaffney's on Saturday. He and I recorded ours the same night in January of 2020. So they were launching a new app. So they're like, we want to make sure we have like a lot of new content for the app. And there's, you know, pandemic, so they weren't recording as much. So I'm fine with the fact that they waited. Plus, like, I wasn't touring in 2020. Like, it didn't help to have a new special out at the time. Mm-hmm. I released my other special right at the beginning of 2020.
Good grief.
And my whole calendar of shows got canceled the same week. So, I'm totally fine with the fact that they waited. It came out. I'm really proud of it with how it got put together. They were great to work with. You fly out to Utah They do three shows a night, or six shows. It's three comics. You do two shows. So you get two shots at running the material. I think they're doing them a little shorter now, but when I agreed, I looked at the app and they were all half hour specials.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you do 2 20-minute sets. I'm like, oh, so I have to do two different 20-minute sets so that they can cut a 30-minute special out of it. But then we got there and they're like, no, we're just doing shorter specials now. You can do the same 20-minute. And I'm like, oh, well, I was going to do it this way anyway. And they're like, you can also do that. We don't, it's fine. Like, they're pretty loose, which I was surprised by, because their whole thing is like, it's got to be very clean. And they tell you exactly what they mean by clean, which is so helpful, because it's a word that means nothing. You guys run the Clean Comedy Podcast. I'm sure you're familiar with the concept that it means different things to different people.
It's like 18 different versions. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I perform at colleges a lot, and to get booked on them, you do APCA and NACA, and they tell you to work clean. And then you get to the colleges. Most colleges don't actually care, but I always ask, I'm like, is there anything you don't want me to say or talk about? And they're like, well, you know, if you could just do a clean set, I'm like, tell me specifically what that means to you. Because my idea of what is clean and your idea are probably different.
Yeah.
I'm like, it's fine anyway. Like, I'm just going to tell jokes about my kids and why they scare me and how, like, science. So I'm not going to go out and, like, scream obscenities at anybody, but it does help to know what your expectations are as the booker. So Drybar lays it out point for point. They're like, this is what we mean. And it's super helpful, because when I booked it, I started thinking more about it. I'm like, I've been working clean for years, like almost exclusively, because I do all these college shows. But then I'm like, I'm too dirty. All my jokes are way too dirty. Like, they're going to cut everything. My special's going to be 5 minutes long because they're going to cut everything out. And they didn't ask to review any of the material. They're like, we trust your judgment.
Right.
Just if there's something we don't want to put out on our network, we will just cut it from the special. I'm like, I know, but that's my concern. Like, what if you've got 25 minutes of this and there's just me introducing myself and then leaving the stage? But there's a couple jokes that I got into the special that I was genuinely concerned. I'm like, they're not going to let this in. So I asked the producer right before we filmed, because she was being really loose about it. She's like, no, trust your judgment. I'm like, it would really make me feel better if you let me just tell you two jokes right now and you tell me if yes or no. they would get cut. She's like, that's fine. So I did. I ran. It was the joke about naming my daughter Tess, and then my sister enlisting in the army and being Private Tickle. And I reference in the special how, like, I wasn't sure they were going to get in. The Private Tickle one especially, I'm like, that doesn't mean anything. Like, that's not that doesn't exist on Urban Dictionary. Whatever you're picturing is your fault. Like, I didn't say, I just said two words. Whatever you're doing with them, that's on you, not me. Like, take it up with your priest. I had nothing to do with it. So that was really helpful. And then, you just kind of wait. That was the most frustrating part, was not knowing when it was coming out.
Yeah.
Like I said before, they could have told me the day we recorded it. We're like, we don't know about, we're yet unaware that there's a pandemic coming, but we're still going to wait a year and a half to put it out. But like, it's totally fine. It's not like topical material.
Yeah.
It's not like, oh, these jokes aren't going to make sense in 18 months. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
But it's out now and people can watch it.
You did some of the jokes that were on your original album though, like the Mr. Tickle, Mr. Tickle.
Yeah. There's a little bit of crossover. Okay. Even with Good Grief, because we actually filmed them like 2 weeks apart.
Oh my gosh.
at the beginning of 2020, the biggest problem in my life was that I was recording two comedy specials too close together. to show what a stark contrast that time was to now. Yeah. I was like, oh, is it too soon? I asked the same thing. I was like, you know, does it matter? Does it have to be stuff that I've not recorded? Something that we only care that it's clean. That's our primary concern. Like, if it's on something else, it's totally fine. We just want clean comedy that we can put out. I'm like, cool. So I would say it's probably like a third of it overlaps with the other specials, because I usually start and end shows the same way.
Yeah.
Do dumb jokes about my name and I close on making the audience yell at Dan. the guy who heckled me 11 years ago or whatever it was.
That guy's like, stop it, Glenn. I'm sorry. That's probably
it's gone on for so long.
I want to find that guy. I wish we could find that guy. Just have him.
I have a friend who worked with him. And when I was doing the Cozy TV comedy search years ago, I was doing like daily videos to get people to vote for me. And one of the videos was I did a supercut of all the times I made people yell that. Yeah. And it was just the ones I had on my phone the day I edited that video. And it was still like 3 minutes long.
Oh my gosh. And
that was 5-6 years ago. Probably. Like, it was a while ago.
Poor day.
Yeah. And I know his brother-in-law. where he lives is not that far from me. He was at, like, it happened at the venue I perform at the most. Like, it was at Music Fest in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, and like that's where I'm at probably once or twice a month. So yeah,
I feel like Ian owes you an apology. Like, he should just come apologize and just get it over.
I believe I drove him off Facebook. So in the joke I say, I film the audiences yelling "Boo Dan Huff, we love Glenn Tickle," and then I send them to him on Facebook. He blocked me almost immediately.
Yeah,
of course he did. But I would still like post them.
And, a sadist.
Yeah, and then my friend who worked with him, he's like, "No, I don't think he's on Facebook." I was like, "Oh, I just thought it was because he blocked me." He's like, "Well, it's probably because some maniac keeps posting rooms full of people screaming that they hate him." I'm like, "You know what? That's a good point. That's probably what it was."
Glenn, you have figured out how to shut down Facebook. All of us should just make videos saying we hate other people. Just do it to everybody. Then no one will be on Facebook, and Facebook will crash. You've solved it.
I'm just going to do this. I'm just going to do this with a phone book. Just my next hour is going to be "Boo Aaron Anderson," and then just put the "Boo," and then just go through the whole list.
Just post it every day, and like, Facebook's like, "What is going on? Why is everybody leaving?" It's like, this guy Glenn Tickle, he's the only one on Facebook.
He's making everybody feel bad about themselves. He's the last one left. I guess it's his now. I guess we have to give Glenn Facebook.
Yeah, you run it now. Sorry, Mark, you're out.
That's my goal with Wikipedia on my podcast too. we're trying to rewrite all of it, and we're like, then they have to give it to us. I think that's how it works.
I think that's how it works.
Yeah, that'll be two websites that I own.
Well, I have a joke that I want to do, I guess I'm probably not going to be able to do it for Dry Bar, which is about, because I know one of the things is like, they don't want like anything about like death or violence or whatever as one of their things that they do. And I have a joke about being fed to bears when I die, which I don't think is going to fly very well with that.
I also just started doing a joke about getting mauled to death by a bear.
Well, mine is that like...
What a fun coincidence.
Yeah, well, mine is more about like when I pass away... I don't want like to have a DNR. I don't want anyone to try to resuscitate me. I just want them to take me up to Yosemite, cover me in honey, and let the bears do the rest, right?
Oh, okay.
And then I talk about like how my wife doesn't like that, and that she wants us to die like the couple in the Notebook, snuggling like the couple in the Notebook, right? And
I haven't seen the Notebook. Do they get mauled by bears?
No, they don't. They fall, they snug, they're cuddling, and then they both die at the end of it. They're like 100, and they both die.
Oh, that's anticlimactic.
It is. It's a love movie. It's one of those, what's the guy that writes all the love movies, like Dear John and whatever? He writes like 18 million. They're the same story, by the way.
I don't know.
They're all lady movies. But anyways, so my wife wants that. And then always, at every single show, never fails, women in the audience go, "Oh," like it's all sweet. And then I'm like, No, ladies, I think I'm going to stick with the bears." And then that usually gets like a big like thing or whatever. So,
yeah.
But I know because that's kind of violent and aggressive, like about death, they're probably not going to let it happen because I know the rules too. Like I'm aware of what they can have. So
I'm trying to remember. I think I do the joke with the order that everyone in my family is going to die on the Dry Bar special.
I think you do too, actually. Yeah.
Although we don't die in the joke. It just acknowledges that we all one day will. I guess that's fine. Yeah.
And that was,
that was definitely not one of them that I was concerned about them cutting. I'm always concerned that it doesn't go over well.
Right.
Like you can even hear it in the Dry Bar special. I lose the audience immediately when you're like, "Here's the order. Everyone in my family is going to die." And then I do the list of silence and then like, win them back over the course of the joke, but it does kind of grind the room to a halt. Which is why I do it. It's fun. It's a fun little challenge.
Well, the other one I have is about serial killers, and so I realize that that's probably going to be too dark for it too. So I'll have to save it for a different special where I make fun of. I tie it into horror movies, so it's like kind of a weird, funny thing, but. It just it either does really well with audiences or does really poorly with audiences.
Ricky Glore, I think on his does a bit about a slasher movie.
Yeah. So,
but I think it's like as a character, like he's talking about a character, not an actual.
Yeah, mine goes through a whole thing. So you like would never
get mine's way bloodier.
Yeah, it's more gruesome. It is more gruesome.
I stab an audience member.
No, I don't do that. But that's what I was thinking. So I'm actually writing new material about being a dad and being specifically a girl dad because I have two daughters. And so just my whole material is like just that whole set that I'm writing for Dry Bar is just girl dad material and stuff. And Disney and, you know, whatever, like kids and wife and pets. And although I have a vasectomy joke that I'm not sure is going to be able to get past them or not. So I'll probably have to run that by them.
I think I don't remember whose it was, but I think I've seen a few vasectomy jokes on there.
Yeah, maybe. And then I have, and in that,
because I started watching a bunch of Dry Bar spent. Like when I got the offer to do it, I watched a ton of them. And then, when I kept refreshing the app, like habitually to see if they posted mine yet, I would watch a bunch of the ones that had come out. And yeah, I mean, I know a couple of people who have them. Like I said, Ricky Glore is a friend of mine. His came out.
He's awesome.
His came out a couple months after Good Grief got released, I think. So he has a good one on there called Dad Bod, I think. It's either Dad Bod or Father Figure. That was his joke.
Yeah.
And I don't remember which one they went with for the title. But there's a lot of good ones on there. Mike Gaffney's just came out.
Yeah. I'm gonna Andy also Erickson's do a book at the same time. Basically, and do it so that way it's kind of like you know, like Gaffigan's like Dad is Fat or whatever. It's like a bunch of stories. I'm gonna do that at the same time that this comes out so that I can have something to take on tour, something to sell or whatever. And I'll probably
consider doing that for Good Grief. And then it's weird because processing that event through comedy was a lot different than trying to do it in writing. Like writing it just really bummed me out.
Well, what you should do is this.
Doing it as comedy was one thing, but I don't know.
Well, why don't you take the audio of it and put it through a transcription AI, like a transcription AI, so it writes it all down, and then you could go through and edit it, and then you could form it into a book, so you don't have to do it again, really.
I guess the appeal of doing it as a book to me would be stuff that didn't make it into the special might work a little better written out. Yeah. So that would probably be a good starting point because then I'm not looking at a blank document. I'm looking at least a few thousand words.
Yeah, and then you could go and change it or whatever and stuff and add things or modify things. Maybe there's something you couldn't put in there because you didn't process that yet, but now you can put it in the book. And,
and
it would be a good thing to sell too.
I found video from an earlier performance of it, and it had probably a solid 15 minutes of stuff that didn't make the final version for whatever reason. But perfect. I like it, but it doesn't make sense to put it out anywhere now. So
make the book. Sonics.ai is a transcription service. You can upload audio or video to it. It goes through it and listens to it. It writes it all down for you. It breaks it down. It's about 97% accurate, so you don't have to worry about something not working. And then you can just go through and edit it in there. And then you can also download it into a Word document or PDF or whatever and make your own edits.
I might give that a shot. That sounds like a good starting off point.
Yeah, and it's cheap. I think it's like $1 an hour or something weird, like something stupid. So yeah, you can do it. It's amazing. I use it for all kinds of stuff. Like if someone sends me a video and they want me to rewrite a joke, and they're not sure what the joke, like they're like, I don't have it written down. I'll just use that transcription thing, transcribe it, and then I'll go and break down the joke and work it out or whatever and stuff. So it works for anything.
Cool.
There you go. Luke, you had a question?
Yeah, I was wondering how your magazine Drick was doing.
Oh, it's surprisingly well. I'm looking around to see if I have a copy. I can do the talk show thing of holding it up.
Yes, please.
You know what? I do have some copies.
We're going to edit this part, so then we'll cut it until when he comes back.
Cut out the boring part of me walking away. Yeah, Drick Magazine.
That's
magazine.
Wait, where can people buy it at?
At jerkthemagazine.com. Not jerkmagazine.com. That is that is a site run by college students, I think Syracuse. This is Jerk the Magazine, and there's an exclamation mark, not in the URL, but in the title, so that it is legally different. Yeah, so basically it's a magazine that people pay me to mail to people they don't like. So, like, if you and Luke got in a fight, you would give me $10 plus shipping, and then I would mail him this magazine, and he would get this fold-out poster that is an award for being the biggest jerk in the world. There's a lot of useful articles for jerks. There's the 100 biggest jerks in the world. Of course, number one is It Just Says You.
My gosh, this is literally the best thing in the world.
There's some fiction about a jerk that I wrote. It's about my friend Ben Youngerman, but I changed his name to Ben Bungerman so that he couldn't sue me. There's a defense of the jerks in Animal House of like the frat guy, the dean, and the weird ROTC guy.
Yeah.
There's a great article about balloon artists.
Oh my gosh. How long did it take you to put this together?
A year. It took a year of my life to do one issue, and I have to do three more. Because I did it as a Kickstarter. So one of the stretch goals was I would do a four issue run, which was a mistake. And most of the year was just doing like admin stuff, like figuring out what printer to use and like what weight paper are magazines and learning to use the software to do layout and conducting the interview with the woman who paid to be on the cover. That's not a stock photo. That is a woman who paid me money because she wanted her face on the cover of this so that when she mails it to dozens of people, they know exactly who it came from.
Is that her real name? Like too?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Wow.
Jen
Winham?
Jen Winham.
Oh, yeah.
She's a copywriter, and you can see I wrote a two-page article. I interviewed her for it, but most of my questions were just, why? Why did you do this? This is not a joke. Why are you? I didn't think anybody would take me up on the offer to be on the cover of this dumb magazine. And she's like, no, it's hilarious.
One of the Kickstarter like goal things?
Yeah.
Like you could be on the cover? And you had four. Because
I read a couple articles about like strategy for getting your Kickstarter to succeed. And I've done a few other things through crowdfunding, but never specifically on Kickstarter. And all of them said, put in a crazy high reward level that people can back at because it'll make the rest of them seem more reasonable. Mm. So this was $500. You get to be on the cover of an issue of Jerk Magazine. And two people did it. Oh, and the second person didn't even take me up on it. Like when I sent out the surveys to be like, hey, I need a picture of you and we'll set up an interview. He's like, you don't have to send me any of the rewards. I just wanted to back the thing. I was like, you gave me so much money. You absolute lunatic. Like, is this a money laundering thing? What is it? Is it Brewster's Millions? Why did you do this? But so he's not going to be on the cover because he doesn't want to be, but he gave me the money anyway for some reason.
Do you need someone else for the other two covers? I might have to.
I've got three issues left to do. So the one, it was gonna be me originally because it seemed like how Oprah put herself on the cover of O Magazine exclusively for years. I'm like, that's hilarious. That's the most wild thing to do. So I'm like, well, like I put myself on the list of biggest jerks in the world. I think I'm number 100. I'm 100, and then it goes up.
Who's number one?
Which is you. Bill Gates. Not you specifically. It just says you. No, Bill Gates is number six.
Yeah.
The Bezos? Top 10 is mostly billionaires. Bezos is three. Let's see. Jen Winham, our cover model, is number two.
Nice.
And then, yeah, it's Musk is number four.
No,
Mitch McConnell's
what?
Number five.
Can't do Musk. Oh,
Jack Dorsey, the Twitter guy, is number seven.
Yes.
Thomas Edison is number nine. So
that makes sense.
It runs the gamut of history.
That's hilarious. Okay, what number is Abraham Lincoln?
I don't know if he's on there. I know Washington, Washington is.
Yeah, but Lincoln wrote mean letters to people. I mean, yes, he did burn them, but one, I think, got out. And then that's why he ended up burning them after that.
Yeah.
If I remember right. I would have made him like number 50.
I'm trying to read real quick. So, let's see. We've got several. George Washington is number 70. Did I put Lincoln on here? I have to redo the list for next month, so he might bump his way up to the top spot. But also, there's a bunch of them are just names of people from Kickstarter, not the people who backed it, but the people they're sending it to. So if you read it and you're like, who are half these names? They're not celebrities. They're just people who are getting this magazine in the mail. There's also my third grade teacher. She's number 40 because I hold a grudge. Now she'll never see this, but yeah, she's on there.
Do you give the reason for each one of them, like why they're a jerk or why they're on the list?
No, I could have. I thought about it because, like, I modeled it after, like, the Billboard charts, mm-hmm. and they have, it's, like, name, album title, like, other info, and I just got lazy because I had a whole magazine to write, James. No. Jeez. What more do you want from me?
Sorry. Put my name on the list. I just made the jerk list.
Yeah. I know. I have Chip Dipson and Dip Dobson, which is a joke from another podcast that I listened to, are the only made-up names on there. The rest of them are all real people. Yeah, Ben Youngerman, he's number 8. He's right above Thomas Edison.
Ben Youngerman, I know that name. Why do I know that name?
Because I said it 5 minutes ago. He's my nemesis. He's the guy the made up jerk story is all about.
Oh, yeah.
This one is all about him. We've probably talked about him before. Yeah, it's a long running joke. He's actually my friend, but it's a long running joke that we hate each other. So we're really mean to each other online all the time. Because then I don't have to be mean to other people. Like, it's an event. Like, anytime I want to post something mean about someone on Twitter, I just do it about Ben.
Right.
And then I don't get flagged. Like, what I don't get my account suspended.
What I'm going to do for this podcast episode is I will take 5 people who write comments in the comments for this episode, and I will send them – I will get – 4 of them will get a postcard, and one of them will get the magazine. That's what I'm going to do. That's all.
Oh yeah, I have postcards too.
Yeah, I'm gonna do the postcard.
That was one of the Kickstarter rewards, and then I had a bunch of them left over, so I'm like, oh yeah, I'll still send these out.
Yeah,
those are really fun because I ask, like, the magazine's not customized. It's not like those books where your kid has an adventure with Spider-Man. It's just the one thing that goes out to everybody. But the postcards I get to write specifically for everyone, and a lot of them were sent as jokes. It was like people sending it to their boyfriend or whatever. I was like, ah, isn't this a silly thing? But some of them were real. And like, I always ask them, like, why is this person a jerk? And they're like, because he killed my mom. Or I don't remember any of the specifically terrible ones.
So you had to send one to a prison or something is what you're saying.
Yeah, a few of them were like really vindictive. And I was like, yeah, nice. That's exactly who I created this
for. This is amazing. How hard was it to create the magazine? Like, could you see yourself doing a magazine, not this magazine per se, but a magazine like every single month or bi-monthly or something like that? 6 issues a year or something like that?
It'll probably be quarterly for this one. I can, only because, like, writing it was probably the easiest part. Like, there's some contributor pieces in here. Like, I didn't write every word of this.
Right.
And If anybody listening, because I know a lot of comics listen to the show, it's contributors@jerkthemagazine.com if you have any pitches. And yeah, it's like the articles that I wrote, some of them took a while because I was interviewing the people, like Jen. I interviewed a Merriam-Webster lexicographer about the origin of the word jerk. And I'm like, thank you so much for letting me waste your time with this absolutely stupid thing. But she was kind enough to let me do it.
That's so and awesome.
Yeah, so like writing all the jokey parts, that was nothing. Like the dumb made up story about my friend being the biggest jerk in the world, like that took an hour probably to write a 2-page story about my friend being an idiot. But then you have to like put it into Affinity Designer, and you need to, or Publisher rather, and you know, figure out how am I going to fill 32 pages in this, like doing layout and figuring out what goes where. That was the that was like the work part of it, where writing dumb articles, I do that on the Humor Weekly regularly because it's so easy to just post things to a website. But when you have to price, you know, getting things printed and shipped, it becomes more of a job.
Where in the future will you do like a digital?
Isn't it like 6:30 where you are?
I know. I'm sorry. So it's 7 o'clock. Will you do something like a digital version at some point? You think maybe or no? Is that like
yes? No, it will. I have to figure out. So my printer, like, they gave me a digital version.
Oh.
As like they sent me one as a proof, but then there's also just like a link they sent me where it appears to just be a full digital version of the magazine hosted on their site. And I don't know if I'm supposed to send that to people, like, or if I have to host it somewhere else. So I'm looking into the easiest way to distribute a digital magazine.
I think if there was a way to put a link on your Jerk store of the download the digital one for like $5 instead of $10, that might be a way to go. Cause I would totally download it right now.
Yeah. Cause I know a lot of people sent it to themselves.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's counter, like either you're not following the spirit of the magazine or you genuinely hate yourself. But a lot of it were just people like, I don't know, I thought it was funny, so I wanted to get one and read it. I'm like, right, but send the physical one to someone else, and then I'll give you the digital copy. Right. You know?
Yeah. So I'm going to do that for five people who write comments on this. You write the meanest thing you want about this episode. Please don't use profanity because it'll be on YouTube. And we'll read them off in the next episode that we do. I will send 4 postcards and then 1 magazine with a postcard. Perfect. So that person's going to get a postcard and a magazine, whichever excellent. I find like the funniest and best.
I have to update the store too to let people order the subscription.
I can Venmo you if you need me to or whatever. It's all good. It's all good. I trust you.
We'll figure it out. Yeah.
Yeah.
Are there thumbs down on
YouTube?
I got
flagged because somebody bought a bunch of copies. So I sell it through Gumroad, and that's what I run my record label through. And it's, you know, I have a couple sales a month probably here and there depending on when I release stuff. But I listed one item that was like 43 copies of the magazine because one person just wanted to send it to a bunch of people. And they're like, I don't want to like buy them individually and have to, because it's a process. You have to like put in their address, why they're a jerk. And she's like, can I just send you a list of names? I'm like, perfect. Email me a spreadsheet and then I'll create this one item. And it was like a couple $100. So it stood out enough on my store where Cumberland was like, hey, your account's being investigated for fraud, so we're not going to pay you. It got worked out, and I don't blame them. Like, yeah. If it goes from I have a few things that sell for like $15 to $20 to suddenly almost $500 in one clip, it's like, yeah, I guess that looks a little suspicious.
Yeah, that's funny. There was like a magazine idea that I came up with that I wanted to do, which was like a Mad magazine meets was it Side Splitter and that kind of stuff, like those kind of things, like where it's just like a silly magazine that goes out, but it's a lot of work, so maybe I'll have to hit you up.
It really is. I should not have done this. It's so much effort.
That's hilarious.
That was the thing, like I said, writing the articles wasn't that hard. Like I write stuff all the time. Like I used to, I worked for blogs where I was supposed to put like 5 or 6 articles up a day. And like, that's, you know, that was my job day to day for a while. That's fine. I can write a bunch of stuff, but then when you got to put it together and figure out shipping rates, oh boy, there was a lot of spreadsheets that I had to do where I was like, this sucks. I should not have done, I mean, not even agreed. I shouldn't have done this 100% to myself.
I'm just going to do, if I'm going to do it, I'm going to do a digital version. I would just do a digital version only. Like, yeah. That's all I would do. I would never do a physical.
That's the way to go. Don't like, I decided to get into print publishing in 2020 when both
did you also
the post
try to
office,
discover the wheel?
Yeah, like the post office and print media are both doing so well. Let me get in. Let me get on these lucrative opportunities. But then I figured, I'm like, oh, I can sell it at shows and stuff, but then there weren't any shows, so.
Yeah, well, I mean, how you probably have a box of copies at your house or something like that you can end up doing or something.
Yeah, I had to do a second printing. This dumb idea is going so well.
For you, man, that's awesome. I can't wait.
And now I'm starting to do shows again. I did a show in person a couple weeks ago, and I'm like, oh, maybe I'll sell them after the show. But then I didn't want to interact with other people. So I'm like, if I had like an assistant, I would make them do it. But
I've had COVID twice. I'll come do it.
You'll be my man on the front lines.
There you go. Like, listen, I already beat this thing twice, and I got the vaccine. We're good.
Yeah, so. I just got triple vaxxed. I got the booster the other day.
Is there a real booster? Okay, I haven't seen. How far afterwards do you have to get that? Is it 6 months later?
I don't remember. Okay. I think it was. It was like six between my, because I got it early because my immune system hates me and is trying to destroy me. So I have to take medicine to like shut it off. So they're like, oh, you should probably 100% get this as soon as you can, since your immune system doesn't work good. So yeah, once the third one went through, I got it. So I have a trip to Omaha next week. That's my first like real travel thing. And I'm like, I'm going to see how that goes before I agree to too much else for the year.
Yeah. Man, that's awesome. Well, I hope it goes okay. Where can people find all the stuff about you? Where can they find all your different blogs and stuff like that?
So, if you go to glentickle.com, it's all the links are on there to Jerk the Magazine, to I think to the Dry Bar Special. If not, it will be by the time I get off this call, I'll update my just glentickle.com has all my social media links and stuff. So
that's pretty. Yeah,
go follow me on TikTok too.
Are you doing TikToks?
Yeah, that's the big. That's the surprise outlet of the pandemic for me. Where I started using it to like, a couple friends were posting stuff that they were doing there. I'm like, oh, I'll sign up and I'll go throw my friends a follow. And then I started posting clips, and they really like took off. And I have a bigger following there than I have anywhere else. I'm like, this shouldn't be allowed. I should not be on an app that teens use for dancing, posting dumb stand-up comedy clips. But
50,000 followers. Woo! Yeah. 2.1 million likes. That's so awesome.
It's crazy. I have one video that has 3 million likes, and is a joke about potty training my toddler. And I realized that over 3 million people have seen my toilet. Because it's in the video. There's another, like, we got a rabbit, and there's a joke about my rabbit that's got like a million views. I'm like, I have no idea what this app likes. My stand-up clips do pretty well, and then sometimes it'll be like, we're showing 3 million people your toilet. We love this. Do more toilet stuff. But
that's
like, I'm not.
Oh my gosh, this is
dedicating my life to potty training jokes.
How many times a day do you post? Do you just post once a day, three times a day? How many?
Lately, like maybe 3 or 4 times a week. I try to always put a stand-up clip up on Sundays just to have some kind of schedule. For a while, like when stuff was really blowing up, I was doing like 3 a day because they're quick and you can just fire them off. Like they're not all stand-up clips. It'll just be a dumb thought that I had and just do it, tell it to your phone real quick. But that died off. So I only do a couple a week now. It sounds like I'm talking myself down from like, oh, yeah, I was mainlining. I can quit anytime I want.
Yeah,
I can't. I need it. I need the attention from strangers.
Everyone keeps telling me to do it, and I'm like, I can't. I'm not going to do it. I'm like, I can't. I can't do it. I'm just I have weaned myself off of social media.
I was saying, you're not on any other social media. It would be weird if it was the only one.
Yeah, and if I get back on it, then I know it's going to become like a thing, and I just can't. Have that weird.
Well, they do. There's like live features and stuff, but it's all one. It's just me talking at my camera, occasionally answering comments, and I'm like, I don't understand what the appeal of this. Like, if I was doing stand up and like threw my phone off to the side of the stage and was doing it, that makes sense. But anytime I've done live, I'm like, why are you watching me talk? Like, what are you doing with your live?
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's just weird. Start
I don't
the live,
understand it.
Start the live feed and just point it at your toilet. See what happens.
Have my rabbit hop by. People will lose their minds.
Yeah. And now if the rabbit hops in the toilet, it's going to go crazy.
Yeah. So my two biggest videos on there are when I first introduced my rabbit and the one about potty training. So I tried to do one that combined both of them, and like I brought the rabbit, and like I forget what the joke was. The joke was I was gonna potty train my rabbit, and it got like 50 views. Sometimes stuff will do huge numbers and you try to recreate it and it just doesn't, the algorithm doesn't care.
That's insane.
It's just playing with my heart is all it is.
Wow. Well, thank you again. Go ahead and shout that out one more time just so everybody knows where to find you.
Yeah, if you just go to glentickle.com, it's got links for days. You can find me anywhere. If you just do at glentickle on whatever social media you use, I'm on there. Except for MySpace. That's a different glentickle.
No. Oh, we should harass him until he gives it
up. He offered it to me years ago. Oh, I'm like, okay. It was when JT was bringing it back. He's like, hey, I had this from before, but I don't use it if you want it. Like, this is going to last 3 days.
Yeah.
And I was right.
You were correct. All right, yeah. Luke, where can everybody find you at?
If you're hearing this, you can find me at James E. Krausen on TikTok.com.
No, I'm not there. That's not it. I swear, do not make that. Nobody make
we're going to make a fan account and just post clips from your phone.
Ugh, gross. That'll be the worst.
I mean, I have enough pictures of James and video to, you know, I'll manage it for you, James. Don't worry. We'll get you
going. Luke's got it under control.
No, I don't want it. Ugh, gross. The sad part is with how I am, like, it probably would do well. It's just, I don't want that. I don't want to deal with any of that stuff, dude. I don't like it enough. I'm personable.
It's
like,
so
like
weird.
I don't like that stuff.
When like the rabbit video did really well, I got so much unsolicited rabbit advice. Like, I didn't ask for your rabbit tips, but thank you. And so I would just start blocking people, but then they would find me on other platforms to be like, hey, I can't find you on TikTok anymore, but I wanted to tell you some more rabbit stuff. I don't want to hear it.
It's like the guy who comes up to you after the stand-up show is like, I've got a great story that you could tell on stage. Oh, and you're like, and it's always racist. Always. Every single time.
Always.
Always a racist joke. Every single time.
Every time it's a racist joke. It's never a joke that doesn't make me physically uncomfortable.
Yeah. Where you're like, please stop talking to me. I don't.
Yeah.
Yeah. I will have to go donate to the NAACP after this because of you. Thank
right.
you.
Right. I'm going to feel guilty just hearing it.
Yeah. Like, yeah. I'm going to have to start apologizing to every person on the street. Hey, look, I'm sorry. I just listened to it. Okay. I'm sorry. Yeah. Just listen to it. Like, it's what it feels like. It's like, Jesus.
I just politely nodded along because I was trying to get him to buy a magazine after the show. It wasn't.
Yeah. I was not agreeing.
Tacit support.
Yeah. No. All right. Thank you so much, Glenn. Thank you, Luke. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Please like, subscribe. Please go check out jamesdcrepson.com or comedypreneur.com. All that stuff has it on there. I'm going to make a magazine. Thanks to Glenn, I'm going to figure out how to do this. I'm going to make a magazine. I think it's the way to do it. And I think
Affinity Publisher is very affordable.
There you go. That's what I'm going to have to do. I'm not going to fall down the rabbit hole of a physical book, but I will make a digital magazine that comes out every month or 2 months or something like that. But I also do want to write for Jerk the Magazine. So we'll do that and we'll get that going. So thank you. And don't forget, 5 people, write some stuff on there. Don't write anything.
I cannot wait to send these.
Do not write anything obscene. But if you do it, and you write it, then I will pick 5. I will name them on the podcast. I'll send 5 postcards, obviously, and then one of those people will also get a magazine. So write it up, people.
Can't wait.
Come to YouTube and do that. I can't wait to read the comments. These are going to be great when they come. They're going to be terrible, but I'm going to love them anyways.
Oh, yeah.
I can't wait. All right. Thank you so much, Glenn. Thank you, everybody, for listening.
Thanks for having me back.
Have a great week, and bye.